ready to get and stay fit? Welcome to Fit Positive Confident with Dr. Gordon, where the focus is on your whole person health, physical, mental, and spiritual. Because your health can be affected by so many factors, Dr. G covers a range of topics in this program, from eating healthy to world-shaping events. So relax and enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show, Fit Positive Confident. We are both the radio show and the podcast. You can find the podcast on your favorite platform, whether it is Spotify or Apple or I don't even know what the heck is all out there.
There's so many of them.
Yeah, there's so many. We're also on a number of radio stations, and we try to talk about positive stuff.
We do, generally.
The show is called Fit Positive Confident, because those are the three ingredients that you need in your life to, I think, be okay. Kyle is in the studio, Kyle Galloway, a martial arts guy. If you don't have those things in your life, if you're not fit, if you're not positive, if you lack confidence, you might become a drug addict.
This is true, right? Your life can go into a whole lot of not great directions, right? So, and, you know, I'm a big proponent of speaking about fitness and being positive in life and having that confidence. But one of the conversations I love having with people is talking about the dark side, right? The other side of that coin. And, you know, if you don't discuss the negative sides of life and it's you try to ignore them and just, you know, have a fake and false positivity, then, you know, that can be just as detrimental to your health and your relationships as, you know, any other toxic person in your life can. So, you know, you got to really recognize that there isn't always positivity in the world, that there is negativity, that sometimes people are just purely toxic in your life. And, you know, it might be your closest friend for your entire life, but, you know, there's just a toxicity there that does more harm than good as an adult. You know, you really got to look at these darker sides and kind of root them out of your life as much as you can. Otherwise, you know, on kind of the best case scenario is that it can just have a super negative effect on your own personal psyche, or worst case scenario is it can drive you into some extremely bad habits, you know, up into possibly drug addict, you know.
I mean, people are. We are living in difficult times, in a sense that there is a lot of worry and fear out there already. Mm-hmm. So people try to cope with it in all kinds of ways. Some people use alcohol. Some people use drugs because they don't want to deal with the reality that's not pleasant all the time. Even people who are affluent are suspect to worry and fear about mm-hmm. what's coming in the future.
Yeah.
So if you combine all of that with some other basic dysfunctionalities that people have, you can end up being a victim of addiction.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we see this in the society all the time. And the question is, how do you pull yourself out of it and live a healthier life if your outlook is always negative? How do you pull yourself out of it? If you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, mm-hmm. if you see that you're stuck in the job that's not going anywhere, if you see that you're stuck in a marriage that's not going anywhere, if you see that there is no chance for success, no chance for things turning around, that can become a pretty depressing situation.
Yeah, it can be. One of my Americans are great at turning anything and everything into an addiction, right? So it's astonishing just what Americans can do with addiction. And I mean, even health and fitness can become a negative addiction to many folks, and just overdoing it and overtraining and and over-focusing. So the negative can really take over any part of it. And, you know, for those that find themselves in that dire and desperate situation, you got to realize that you actually have some say in that, right? There is, you know, some of the blame is put onto the universe and what is being thrown your way. And some of the blame is squarely on your shoulders for the choices that you make. And, you know, if you're stuck in that dead-end job that you have zero belief that there's any form of growth or success or achieving what you want in it, then don't be a coward and make a change, right? Like that's the biggest piece of this, is that many of us find ourselves in these positions and we find ourselves within, you know, these dead-end relationships and dead-end jobs, but then are 100% unwilling to admit that they are dead-end and make the change, right? You might admit that it's dead-end, but then you stick it out, right? Like jump off into the deep end and put yourself out there and take the risk and go for something that, you know, you feel like might be a better situation. And then if that's not the right situation, make another change.
We all love a good comeback story. Like, for example, yeah. You know, the movie that made Sylvester Stallone famous, that boxing movie.
Yeah, Rocky.
But, right. But, you know, at the same time, we feel that in that movie, for example, he was given a chance by somebody else, something that was out of his control.
Mm-hmm.
His life was spiraling out of control, right? I mean, that's what we talk about ourselves. Sometimes your life is spiraling out of control, and you feel, if I'm only given a chance, things could turn around. So in his particular case in the movie, which never really happens in real life, the offer came for him to fight this world champion, and that's just not going to happen in real life.
But
we have this sense that if I only had a chance, then I would, you know, turn my life around and get in the shape and become the world champion.
Agreed. Now, I love that you brought up Rocky, because the inspirational story of Rocky is awesome, but the inspirational story of how Rocky got made is even better, because Sylvester Stallone at that time was, broke. Like dead broke, and he had written the script to Rocky, and it took him years to get it made. And it wouldn't have taken years to get it made, because everybody wanted to buy the script, and everybody wanted to make the movie. Like every studio that he met with was like, yes, I want this movie. But Sylvester Stallone was like, I'm playing Rocky. And he was a no-name actor, and nobody wanted to cast him as Rocky.
He was too small to be a world-class heavyweight anyways.
Yeah. So every studio was like, yeah, we'll buy the movie, but you do not get to play Rocky. And he would walk away from every single deal, because he was like, no, I am going to play Rocky. And every studio was like, that's never going to happen. No studio is going to give you that chance. No studio is going to put you in this lead role. So just sell us the movie. We'll get the movie made, and you'll make money just by selling us the script. And he refused. And
so your point is you are in control.
You are in control. You just got to have the gall to hold to what you want, to know that something else out there is better. And, you know, and he stuck to it, and he finally found a studio that bought the movie and allowed him to play Rocky. And then now, you know, that skyrocketed him into all these other roles. I mean, how many, he made, what, 5 Rocky movies, and then revived the series later in life, and you know, then it spun off into Creed, and now, you know, Rambo and all these other positions that he was in. But if he had cowtailed to what these executives from these studios were telling him, and he just sold that script, he might be known as a movie writer, but he wouldn't be known as what Sylvester Stallone is known as. So you still got to have some guts. And yeah, you might be waiting for the world to give you a chance, but you also got to go out there and create the chance. Like, the world and the universe does not give you something until you demonstrate that you deserve it.
So the real life story is actually more realistic than what was presented in the movie, where
absolutely
they just came and offered him to fight,
this, right?
You know, because that's just never going to happen.
That's never going to happen. But that story behind how it got made is amazing, right?
It
like
does
he
happen.
Made it happen, and he even though he could have very much used the money from selling that script, but he stuck to his guns, and it paid off in the long run.
All right, we'll be right back. All right, back in the studio, Kyle Galloway, my guest. SuccessMartialArts.ninja is his website. He runs a martial arts school here in the north part of Denver. If you have kids who would like to learn, well, not just how to defend themselves and not just how to start a life of fitness and good health and good eating, but also how to become confident in life, then maybe you should check out his school, SuccessMartialArts.ninja.
Yes, sir.
We are talking, I don't know how we ended up talking about Rocky and Sylvester Stallone, you know. But it's an interesting story. We are talking about finding ourselves in a situation where you just don't think that you have a chance.
Yeah.
And your life is spiraling out of control, and the point that you're making is you can always do something different.
Yeah.
Is that the lesson? You can always do something
different?
You can
always make a change. You can always do something different. And that is literally the only thing you have control over, is your actions and your choices, right? So you could, my dad always had a wonderful saying. And because it's radio, I can't actually use the words that he used to use, but he would tell me to wish in one hand and poop in the other and see which one fills up first. And the whole point of that was you could sit around and wish all you want, but without action, you get nothing, right? So you gotta, and you know, he always used to tell me that nobody's ever gonna bring a truckload of money and just dump it on your doorstep. Right. So martial arts and my dad instilled a really deep understanding of action. Right. Action is how things get done. And you must make actions to accomplish anything that you want in life. And this is, you know, an easy principle when it comes to like martial arts. If you want to be, you know, a really good martial artist, or even just simply the idea of, you know, you want to earn a black belt, which, you know, a lot of people think it'd be pretty cool to earn a black belt. But if you have the wish to earn a black belt, but you never show up to a martial arts class, then you're never going to get a black belt. You can't sit on your couch and eat Cheetos all day, every day, and then, you know, somebody shows up and just provides you with this accomplishment, right? You always have to show up and do the work, right? The work is the most success trait out there. Like, you got to actually put in the elbow grease to accomplish what it is that you want. And if you are in a position, say your job, no matter how hard you work, there's no way to move forwards. There's nothing that is gratifying or satisfying about this. Then you got to then make a change, right? You got to admit to yourself when you are just literally banging your head against the wall, right? Sometimes work is not going to be the answer. Sometimes you got to change the situation, right? And that comes down to the choice, right? But choice and actions, choice and the work, these are the things that make the difference in your life.
How do you, there are some people who are experts at telling themselves, there is nothing I can do about this,
yeah,
and I can't do this. What do you do with your students, some of your students? I know you have had them over the years, some of them, mm-hmm. who will come and say to you, I can't do that. Whether it's that move or whether it's some kind of a, you're trying to teach them something in the class.
Yeah.
You've seen that. I just can't do that. When I was in school as a kid, there were kids who would say, I just can't do the math, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can't do this, or I can't do that, or we will have PE, and we had this big old rope all the way ceiling of the gym. A lot of kids would say, "Oh, I can't do that."
Mm-hmm.
What is your advice? What is your approach as a teacher with people who tell you that they can't?
So, in our school, we say "can't" as a four-letter word, right? Just like any bad word that people typically choose not to use in society, right? So if I have a student that says can't, the moment can't comes out of their mouth, they owe me push-ups. 100%. And the higher their belt rank, the more push-ups it is. And, you know, and I literally have students that will start saying can't that have been with us for a while, and they'll be like, I can't. And I look at them, I'm like, what? Huh? What was that? Huh? What was that word? And they're nothing, because they don't want to do the push-ups that go along with it. And so there's a couple of things that we approach with that. And so first off, there's one of the stories that I tell our students to have a little bit better understanding is, so elephants, right? Elephants and circuses, right? So the way that they train elephants to kind of stay around, right? Because once a full-grown elephant is, if it is completely free and decides, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and walk away from these people, then, you know, a fully grown elephant is going to walk away, right? There's nothing these people could do to stop it, right? But what they do with these elephants is they get them when they're babies, and then they basically put a rope around their leg and tie them to a post. And now a full-grown elephant would snap that rope immediately and go off and do what it wants. But the baby is too small to do that. And so whenever the baby is not out doing whatever it needs to do, it has this rope around its leg. So anytime it goes to the end of that rope, the rope stops it and trains that elephant that this is as far as you can go from where we want you. And as the elephant grows, they keep the rope on there, and then eventually it breaks the elephant's concept of, I'm going to go where I want. And as long as there is just a rope cuff around the elephant's foot, then the elephant believes that it's imprisoned. It doesn't even try to go beyond that space anymore. It's been trained. Mm-hmm. And so when that happens, then they don't even need the rope to be tied to anything. They literally just have a piece of rope tied around the elephant's foot, and that little rope around its foot tells it that it is under control by the circus, right?
So these are the limitations that are imposed by others.
Exactly. So it's an invisible prison, right? It's this prison that is in your mind, right? And the belief of can't is, and the more you use that word of I can't, then the more you're building this invisible prison on yourself of what you, and I am a, like everything that we talk about on this show and my entire reasoning for studying fitness and nutrition and you know, all this different stuff, martial arts, everything, is I'm a fascinated person with the capability of human beings. And everything that was once said that we were incapable of doing, we've shattered those records, right? You know, breaking, the 3-minute mile?
Sure. 4-minute mile.
4-minute mile.
Oh, break.
Break time.
Kyle is in the studio. By the way, you can check this podcast on your favorite podcast platform, Spotify or Apple or whatever else is out there. We are talking about, this conversation has turned to self-imposed limitations and limitations imposed by others on us and our deeply held belief that we cannot overcome those limitations. And you use the example of a little elephant tied to a post, and then as he grows, he just learns that this is his limitation. And even though at one point he's able to rip the whole freaking circus out of place, you know, he just sticks with it, and it, because he has accepted his limitations.
Yeah.
So he has the power, or she, you know, has the power to shatter their limitations, and to go farther and to do whatever really he wants, but he just believes that he can't.
And it's a learned helplessness, right? And so that happens to us in so many different ways. And so, you know, what we are capable as human beings is really unbelievable. And, you know, every single person has a tremendous amount of power lurking inside them. And when you believe that you are incapable, you're 100% right. If you believe that you can't, then you can't. But if you believe that you can, then you can, right? Now belief is not going to do it. Like, you can't just look at a physical problem and, you know, like, no matter how much I say I can beat Usain Bolt in a race, that doesn't mean it's reality, right? Like, I'm not going to get into, you know, 100-yard dash with Usain Bolt and win simply because I believe that I can, right? But there is all kinds of things that, like, when you are about to actually put in work on something, if you don't believe that it's even possible, then there's never going to be a time where you give your 100% on it, because your brain is going to limit the effort that you give purely based on the, you know, the idea that it's impossible, right? Why would you put 100% into something that you know you're going to fail at?
You're not even going to try.
You're not even going to try. You're not even going to give 50% of your effort, right? You're going to give 10% of your effort, fail a couple of times immediately, and be like, see, I told you it was impossible, and then just give up.
I'll give you an example. I wanted to enter a 100-mile bicycle ride. It's not even a race; it's a ride.
Mm-hmm.
And it was happening in the first weekend of June, so I was gonna start riding my bike, you know, early in the season,
mm-hmm.
and just get in shape,
kinda prepare, and
do it.
Yeah.
You know, but March was full of snow and crap, you know, and I don't like to go to the gym, you know. So, anyways, to make the long story short, I finally started riding in May.
Okay.
About 3 or 4 weeks, you know. But I believed that I could do 100 miles because I just believed it, that I could do. And my idea was, okay, I'm not going to break any records. I'm not going to be the first one to the end line, you know. I just want to finish it. And I tell you, I was overweight. I was not in the greatest shape. But I just believed that I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out there. It took me all day, like 9 hours, and I did it. But it was this... After I did it, I felt like how much more better I could have been if I had started working out back in the beginning of March, April, May. In other words, yes, you can accomplish a lot more than you believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you have to want to try it.
Yeah.
You have to want to push yourself. You have to... I don't know. Sometimes we believe that we can do something and then we don't even want to try it.
And when you are, any time that you're trying to make an improvement on yourself, you have to be very comfortable with being uncomfortable. Because if all you want is comfort, then you don't want growth, right? You either are in your comfort zone or you're in your growth zone. Right, growth is uncomfortable. Right, you got to do things differently. You got to bring. If you're looking to improve fitness, right? Like, you know, it's not the most enjoyable thing to go lift heavy weights for 2 hours. It's not the most enjoyable thing to get on your bike and train for a 100-mile bike ride. If you want to be a good kicker in martial arts, you know, doing 100 of each kick on both legs, you know, doing like 1,000 kicks in a row, you're not gonna be comfortable while doing that number of kicks. You're gonna be sweating, you're gonna be breathing heavy, muscles are gonna be burning, right? But that's the price that it takes to get improvement. So without discomfort, there is no growth. And there is no improvement. And that, like, physically, that is an easy thing to talk about because, you know, everybody can know exactly what that feels like. You know, you start doing bicep curls in the gym, you know, first bicep curl just feels good. And then by the time you're on number 10, your muscle is burning and screaming at you, and it hurts a lot to get those last couple of reps out, right? And then you put the weight down, rest, and then you got to do it all over again. And each set burns a little bit more, or at least it should. So we know what the physical exertion is, right? But when it comes to things like ending a relationship that is going nowhere or quitting your job to go get a new job, those are discomforts that come with a lot more fear, right? When you're thinking about like switching careers or changing jobs, right? Then all of a sudden there's this entirety of unknown, and it's tied with your money, and your money is the thing that pays for the roof over your head, puts food on the table, and you know, so now you feel like you're messing with your life in a much more profound way.
It's a risk.
And it's a huge risk, right? Which is why I would never advise somebody to quit a job before you find a new job, right? But you can put feelers out, right? Start searching for, you know, a new job, and then you make a quick transition from one to another, right? Or you've been married for 20 years, and, you know, I actually know a person that's going through this right now. She's been married to her husband for 22-ish years, and they've now decided that they don't work well as a married couple, and they are getting a divorce. And, you know, in this scenario, it's pretty much amicable, right? But there is a huge amount of discomfort. They got a couple of kids that are, you know, still in adolescence. You know, I think the youngest is 10 and the oldest is right around 12, 13. And, you know, and so they got to deal with the kids, and, you know, there's a lot of discomfort that goes along with ending that kind of relationship. But you know, if you get to a point in a job or a relationship or anything in your life, and you realize that, you know, you end up in one of two positions, right? Can I work on this and make it better? Or do we got to end it, right? And if you feel like you can put in the work, and that means you make changes to help the relationship or the job grow, and you demand for changes from the other side, then both sides decide to put in the work to make it a better situation. Or you as a human being have to make that choice that this is no longer worth it for me. And no matter how much work I put into it, I need to make a change, because the work is not going to be the change that's needed.
A lot of times people don't want to make a change until remaining in the same situation becomes absolutely too painful.
Yeah. And, you know, and then some won't even make a change then, right?
I mean, don't even want to make change then, because they'll rather put up with the pain than with the fear and the risk of something new, something different. There is also another thing. When I gave you an example of me riding that bike, I knew it was going to be embarrassing too, because I was going to be the last one to the line. I just was not going to be in good shape, but I didn't want to quit. I wanted to go and do it, because I already signed up for it and I wanted to do it. And I knew it. So sometimes you have to take a risk of being embarrassed. You have to take a risk of somebody's going to laugh at you. You have to take a risk of the possibility of failure.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the, like you really got to manage those expectations of what it's going to be. Like, you know, if you went in there and expected to be first across the line and you know, you would just have an ultimate just nothing but failure. But because you managed your expectations and you admitted those things beforehand, you know, I'm sure by the end of that, you were just kind of like, dude, I accomplished my goal. I finished it, right? Like, you actually acknowledged the accomplishment rather than tear yourself down that you failed because you weren't first across the line. So you got to manage the expectations of that change.
All right, let's come back right after this break and finish up this program. Right. You know, after I came back, after I finished those 100 miles, I went through the finish line and all of that stuff, and I went and I was so exhausted, I laid on the sidewalk, and the ambulance came by. They were like, sir, do you need help?
Are you in need of assistance?
I'm like, no, just leave me alone. I'm glad they didn't take me, you know. But, yeah, to make changes, it's risky.
It is.
Not just for your bottom line, but also for your dignity sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
People don't want to get a divorce because everybody's going to look at me like a failure.
Yeah.
People don't want to quit their job because, wow, what if I don't get a better job? And then my present coworkers see me flipping burgers at Burger King.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, There is a lot to say about this dignity and pride and how we would rather stay in a bad situation so that people would continue to assume that everything is okay about us rather than take a risk and change and then be exposed maybe for some kind of a failing.
Yeah, and you know, what I say to that is something. Maybe this is considered an unpopular opinion, but you know, if your pride and your ego is more important and you don't want to make that change, and then by all means, that's a perfectly fine decision for you. But you can't continue to complain about your situation unless you're willing to make a change, and you're just creating misery in yourself for not accepting the actuality of what you want. So if you want to preserve the facade, then admit that to yourself. Well, accept that about yourself, and then be happy that you're accomplishing your goal of being like, yeah, this job sucks, but you know, everybody thinks I'm all right. So you know what? I'm accomplishing my goal.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Some people don't want to rock the boat because they don't want to draw the attention to themselves.
Yeah. So you're living life the way you want to live it. Celebrate that. Enjoy it. Don't complain about it. Right? You can't, like, you know, I hate this saying, you can't have your cake and eat it too, because, you know, why have cake if you can't eat it, right? Like, it's the stupidest saying in the world to me, but, you know, it's useful in this situation, right? Like, you know, the whole scenario here is, you know, if you just flat out do not want to make the change, then admit it to yourself, accept it, and find joy in the fact that you are living life by your terms, right? I choose this crappy job. I choose this crappy relationship.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
All of a sudden, the positivity and the joy in your life exponentially grows because now you feel like you are in control again and you are extremely happy about it. And you know what? That is perfectly okay. But if you are truly unhappy and you cannot stand it anymore, then make the change. Get off the couch and go do what you need to do to make it better.
I like the whole concept that we discussed today about this ability of human beings to do so much more and are capable of doing so much more than most of us really believe about ourselves.
It's true. And you know, sometimes that means we can take on more misery than anybody else around us too. And, you know,
that's a good point.
So, you know, if you're in a dead end job, dead end relationship, and it's just miserable and you're taking it, and you know, maybe you just need a little bit of pride and ego in the fact that, you know what, I am taking this on the chin better than anybody else out there, and then give yourself a pat on the back.
Yeah, and most people don't like that.
Right? Then make the change.
Most people are not going to be like, oh, yeah, I love my Walmart job.
And, you know, and it's, but it is your choice. Like
but
that's,
at least you're
right?
giving them the choice to say,
make
hey, I love it.
The choice. Make the choice to stay and accept it. Make the choice to leave and accept it. Make the choice. Nobody is forcing you to stay. There is nothing out there that is 100% forcing you to be in this marriage that you don't want to be in anymore. Nothing is holding you to this dead-end job that you don't want to be in anymore. The choice is yours, and this is the ignorance that most people enter with, is that it's being done to them. You are doing it to yourself. You have the opportunity, you have the chance to go out and do something different, and it is going to take some work on your part. You want a better job? Maybe you need to go get better education. You need the skill sets. You need the qualifications and the letters on the back end of your name that tell people that you put in work and you deserve the opportunity that you're looking for. You got to make the choices in your life. And if you don't, then make the choice to stay and accept it, right? Either way, make the darn choice.
You're saying if you have a crappy life and you're too scared to make changes, then just embrace your crappy life and be happy about it.
Embrace the choice that you're making to stay in it and enjoy that choice.
Well, and I mean, there is no, a person can be perfectly happy, and I know this for a fact because I was in that situation, a perfectly happy living in a trailer park and drinking cheap wine.
Yeah, right? You know, I mean, they make some nice trailer homes out there right now.
But the point is, you can be happy in any situation, but if you embrace it.
It's true. And, you know, you think about, like, as Americans, the poorest Americans have so much more than many of the poorest people in the world.
Because we got a dollar store next door.
Right? And, you know, so every, and you go to some of these other countries that, you know, are much, 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 much more poor than we are. And you still find people that, you know, don't have running water or plumbing in their huts. And they are just full of joy. And they're some of the happiest people on the planet. And they do not have the new Xbox or the new PlayStation. And they don't have, you know, the smartphone in their pocket. And they don't have even a crappy beat up automobile, right? Like, these people are full of joy, and they have 0.01% of what we have here.
And if they get a little bit of fish with their rice, they are super happy,
right?
Thrilled, they're
right?
Celebrating.
Yeah. So, you know, you can be happy in all these situations, but again, it comes down to choose to stay, choose to leave. Either way, make the choice and enjoy it, accept it, and celebrate it.
All right, folks, this is Fit Positive Confident podcast and radio show. You can find it on all kinds of podcast platforms. And in the studio today was Kyle Galloway, successmartialarts.ninja. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Be sure to tune in next time for another unique perspective on your whole person health with your host, Dr. G. And don't forget to share the goodness with friends and family and visit our website at fitpositiveconfident.tv. And follow Dr. G on Twitter at Dr. G Fitness. God bless and stay healthy.